When it comes to the first class, fathers, you are the absolute cream of the crop.
I'm so glad that you're my dad, you're one in a million, Pop.
Without you, Dad, I wouldn't be the person I am today. You built a strong foundation no one can take away. I've gone up with your vows and I'm feeling God I did. So here's to you, dear father, from your forever grateful kid.
You may have thought I didn't see or that I hadn't heard life lessons that you taught me, but I got every word. Perhaps you thought I missed it all and that we'd grow apart, but Dad, I picked up everything it's written on my heart.
I'm happy you're my dad. I feel safe when you are with me. You showed me fun things to do. You make my life much better. The best father I know is you. I am happy you're my dad. And so I want to say we love you, Daddy.
Are you happy? I love you, Daddy. I hope you, Daddy, happy Father's Day.
I want to be just like my dad and learn things just his way and then teach them to my son so then I can teach them to my son when I'm a dad someday.
I want to wear my dad's shoes, but my feet are too small. One day in my dad's shoes, I fall 10 feet tall.
Someday I'll grow to fill them, only hope to be as fine a man and great a dad as my daddy is to me.
Raising a girl takes two parents, a mom to show her how to be a woman, a dad to show her how to be independent. A dad is supposed to make his daughter feel courageous, fearless, and make her feel beautiful.
To give her a sense of adventure, to make her feel secure and confident. The relationship between a dad and a daughter is very simple.
She will love and trust him completely forever.
He is her first love, her first hero,
the first man in our life.
His heart is warm. He keeps us from harm.
My dad is the best in the land.
In my lap for a good night hug. He calls me Dad and I call him Bud. With his faded old pillow and a bear named Pooh,
He snuggles up close and says, I want to be like you. I tuck him in bed and I kiss him goodnight, tripping over the toys as I turn out the light. And I whisper a prayer that someday he'll see he's got a father in me, 'cause I've seen Jesus in me. Lord, I want to be just like you, 'cause he wants to be just like me. I want to be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. Help me be a living Bible, Lord, that my little boy can read. I want to be just like you, 'cause he wants to be like me. I've got to admit I've got so far to go, make so many mistakes, and I'm sure that you know. Sometimes it seems no matter how hard I try, with all the pressures in life, I just can't get it all right. But I'm trying so hard to learn from the best, being patient and kind, filled with your tenderness. 'Cause I know that he'll learn from the things that he sees, the Jesus he finds will be the Jesus in me. Lord, I want to be just like you, 'cause he wants to be just like me. I want to be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. Help me be a living Bible, Lord, that my little boy can read. I want to be just like you, 'cause he wants to be like me. Right now, from where he stands, I may seem mighty tall, but it's only 'cause I'm learning from the best father of them all. I want to be just like you, 'cause he wants to be just like me. I want to be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. Help me be a living Bible, Lord, that my little boy can read. I want to be just like you, 'cause he wants to be like me. I want to be just like you, 'cause he wants to be like me.
This time we'll be dismissed to our classrooms. I'll close us in a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for this day, and we thank you for all who are here. We pray that you'd just be with us today and make your presence known in our lives and here as we worship. Lord, we're thankful for safety as we traveled here, and we just pray that you'd be with us this day as we celebrate Father's Day and what it means to us, Lord. We pray these and all the things we pray in Christ's name.
you've come to laugh and play. Hey, there's more than meets the eye beneath the golden seas. The love you will discover if you stay. Hey, come on an island adventure. We'll search for the world's greatest treasure. Forever, treasure, forever.
house before me, the world behind me. I fix my eyes on Him, my Creator.
Did we have a good week of Bible school or what? Yes, we did. The truth is, we averaged 100, and there were 59 with perfect attendance, and there was registered 130-some children. And we did have a good week. We hope you liked a little bit of the sights and the sounds in case you were unable to get out here. I'd like to say a special thanks, especially to Mary Watts. She put together the Friday night closing program. We hadn't done that for several years, and it truly, I believe, made a difference. We had probably 180 or so people out here, and allowed us to talk with, I think, some parents that we would not have had an opportunity to see had we not had the program. So, wow, we believed in sharing God's love all week long, and we know that that always makes a difference, and Friday night was no exception. So what a great week of Bible school. We prayed for it. We asked God to bless it, and God did over and over again. So we're excited about that. Hope you got a bulletin. Now, yours may not have all the writing on it that mine does. You don't have to get it because I'm not reading it to you. You can read it later yourself, but there's a bunch of stuff in there. Some of the things you saw at the beginning are up there, but if you need to be reminded of it, it's in your bulletin. For today, we simply say you've already seen the announcements, so let's begin our worship service. And we're told that we enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. We give thanks to Him and bless His name. And that's what it's about. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You so much for today, this service, this opportunity to be into Your presence and to give You our worship. May everything be done, bring You honor, glory, and praise forever and ever. And so now, Lord, as we enter Your gates, we come with thankful hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And truly we can say this is the day the Lord has made, and we're rejoicing, we're glad in it. Joining with us, if you would, in time of worship, to the call to worship, Blessed Be the Name, followed by hymn number 404, The Solid Rock. And let us stand together as we lift our song in praise. Blessed be the name, singing together. My hope is built on nothing less, singing together.
Thank you.
And while you're standing, greet those around you, wishing you God's blessing today.
God's blessing today. Indeed, so much to be thankful for. Let us again approach God's throne. Lord, this morning, we strive to be all that you want us to be. I mean, we want to please you with our words, with our lives, with our actions, with everything that we do. And Lord, we pray that you would fill us and offer us faith and love that we might share those very things with others. And where we've missed the boat, Lord, where we failed you, where we haven't really lived up to our calling in you, we pray that you would forgive us. And Lord, that you would cleanse us yet again. We want to be your people. Everywhere and everyhow, Lord, we want to spread your love with everyone. So open the doors of opportunity to us. And we confess, Lord, that we haven't always been reaching out to others like you may have wanted us to. So pull us close to Calvary and excite us that we'll go out and we can't help but share about how that you came and that you forgive and that you're alive today to bring life to us. And Lord, we pray that you would again allow your heart to beat within us because we know that yours is a mission heart. And for the efforts of last week and for all the joys, the challenges, the times where perseverance was needed, Lord, we give last week completely to you. And we believe that those seeds of your love will truly take root, that they're going to begin to grow. And Lord, truly, it may be eternity before we understand the depth of everything that took place last week. But we're just praising you that you allowed us to be a part of it. For all those young lives, Lord, that were here, may you continue to assure them of your love and of your calling upon their lives. And this morning, yes, Lord, we thank you for godly fathers. Fathers who have put you first. They put you ahead of their jobs. They put you ahead of everything else, and they've given themselves to you that they might truly lead their families in the way that will please you. So, Lord, bless them and keep them, encourage them, and keep them on the straight and narrow, we pray. And again, Lord, what a joy and a privilege to be in your house and to know, Lord, that in these moments that you are going to come and speak to us. So we praise you for all these things, and we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
At this time, Mary and Annabelle and Allison are come and share with us. We have a bulletin, the Brent Lane family, but we're still working on Brent and Jonathan there. But one of these times we're going to make them be a part of it. But this time, Mary, come with your daughters and bless our hearts with a special.
Keeps blinking back to red. Yes, sir.
sure of one thing I know. God walks beside me wherever I go. He'll never leave me. He's there to stay. God holds my my way. God's love is perfect. His arms are strong.
He's right here with me. I'm not alone.
When my heart's broken, He's there to
blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love.
We don't give an offering in order to pay God off. That's not why we do it. We take offering because of God's great gift of forgiveness to us. Out of our joy and expression for our ingratitude, we give back to God. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to this moment in our service, as we give, may it be truly an expression of our gratefulness and of our love for You. The Lord, we understand that Your love is always going to be deeper, wider, and higher than our love for You. But may You take this offering, may You use it for Your glory. In Christ's name, amen.
And on this Father's Day, in which we celebrate our fathers and grandfathers and some here great-grandfathers, we invite you to turn with us to hymn number 279. Also want to mention that during the singing of the song, we will dismiss our children and children's church workers to their place of worship. And also in the place of the listed statement in the bulletin, because of a change after the bulletin was printed, Brother Mark will be sharing this special with us right before the message. Let's stand together. Faith of our fathers, singing with that joy of Christ in our lives. Faith of our fathers, singing together. Thank you, church. You may be seated. Brother Mark Muller, come and share testimony and song.
Answered prayer. I have trouble I wish wasn't there. And I have asked a thousand ways that you would take my sin away. You would take my sin away. I'm trying to understand how to walk this weary land, make straight the paths that crooked lie. O Lord, before these feet of mine, O Lord, before these feet of mine, when my world is shaking, heaven stands
when you walked upon the earth. You heal the broken, lost, and hurt. I know you hate to see me cry. One day you will set all things right. Yeah, one day you will set all things right. When my world is shaking, heaven stands. When my heart is breaking, I never leave your hands. Your hands, your hands that shape the world are holding me, they hold me still. Still, when my world is shaking, heaven stands. When my heart is breaking, I never leave you. When my world is shaking, heaven stands. When my heart is breaking, I never leave. I never leave your hands.
So do you remember reading about, in the book of Genesis, about a man named Enoch? And if you do remember it, and there's really not a lot about him in the book of Genesis, just a couple of verses. In fact, there's just a few verses in all of the Bible about him. But do you remember his claim to fame? What made Enoch so unique? I mean, it's true, we know next to nothing about how that he lived his life, but for me, I got to tell you, his life leaves me wondering about a lot of things. I mean, he made a short list, a very short list, only him and one other person. I mean, him and Elijah are the only ones in the Bible that says they never died. You remember Elijah was the chariots of fire taken up into heaven, and Enoch always says he walked with God, and God took him. And, you know, when I think about him and his life and his faith, I mean, what an epitaph for a grave marker, if he had one. I guess he didn't need one, but here doesn't lie Enoch. Because he didn't die. I mean, that's kind of amazing. And I hope what was said about Enoch can be said about me. Not the dying part, folks. If the Lord doesn't come back, I'm going to die just like the rest of y'all in here. That's what's going to happen to us if the Lord doesn't split the eastern sky. But I hope what was said about Enoch in the book of Hebrews can be said about me in my life, because it says that he lived his life in such a way that he pleased the Lord. Now, I got to tell you, that is an epitaph for a grave marker. Here lies someone who pleased the Lord. Well, we're going to read about Enoch in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and this is that chapter that's all about faith, and it's all about different characters of faith, and Enoch, amazingly, he's not number one here, but he's number two on the list. And we're going to start verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, it's one of those things that we talk about, well, probably every time we get together.
If we don't talk about it, we pray for it. And if we don't pray for it, we probably sing about it. And there's a lot of substitutes out there in life today. If you can't eat sugar, there's plenty of sugar substitutes out there. There's sweet and low and equal. But there is no substitute for faith when it comes to God. Faith is indispensable. Without it, we can't please God. Without it, we can't know God. I've heard it said, and I believe it. Maybe you've said it. Look, faith can see you through anything. But that, to me, is not why faith is so invaluable. We find its value in that it pleases God, and if it pleases God, that too puts us in on a very impressive list. Because when we please God, we're standing alongside of Jesus, because at his baptism, the Father said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And I think anytime we can stand beside Jesus, that's a really, really good thing. But being human as we are, sometimes we get to say, "Well, that's all good and fine, but is there anything in it for me? If I live a life of faithfulness, is there anything in it for me?" And there is. There's all kinds of things in it for us. One of the things we find in the book of Proverbs, it says, when the ways of people please the Lord causes even their enemies to be at peace with them. Look, pleasing God is good, and that's why I think we need to pay attention to what follows it in verse 6. And without faith, it's pretty hard to please God. It's almost impossible to please God. Well, you might be able to please God. No, it says it is impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Look, Enoch's testimony is that he pleased God because he was a man of faith. Now, sometimes there are things in our walk with the Lord, in our relationship with him, that we say something like, you know, I know what it means. I understand it because I've lived it, but I find it difficult to put into words to explain what it means. But when it comes to faith, we need to know exactly how to express what it means. How can we ever tell anybody that they need faith in God if we cannot articulate what faith means to us? If we're going to say it, and we ought to be saying it a lot, that it's impossible to please God without faith, then we need to know how to explain faith. And it is a little bit easier for us because everybody understands a little bit about faith. Not necessarily faith in God, but everybody has faith. And so we begin to share with them. Now, I think in ages gone by, it was a little easier for us because most people, even though they might have been on the fringes of church, most people had a little bit of understanding about church and about faith. But I got to tell you, the further away we move from God in our society today, more and more generations have grown up in families that didn't have anything to do with God, and fewer people truly understand what it means to have faith. And that's why it is even more critical for us this morning to be able to share with them what it means to place your faith in Jesus Christ. Back when I went to Police Training Institute, and it has been a long time ago. In fact, I was going to throw the number out, then I realized how long it was, and I decided I wasn't going to do that after all. It is a long time ago. But I had a professor there, and he said, when things are quiet and there's nothing going on, don't just drive around and listen to the radio. He said, play the what if game. And he said, play it all the time. Think about all types of scenarios and things that might happen and decide ahead of time how you should react and respond to it. And his premise was simply this. He said, things happen so quickly out on the streets that if you don't know what you're going to do before it happens, he said, you're going to hesitate. And when you hesitate, somebody's going to get hurt. And so he said, play the what if game. So what if today the waitress asks you this afternoon, what is this faith in Jesus all about? And what if you're the last person that's going to have an opportunity to share with her what faith is all about? Do you hesitate? Do you stutter? What do you say? And if you had to take out a piece of paper right now and write out what it means to have faith in Jesus, how long would it take you to write it out? Now, someone might quickly say, well, right here in Hebrews, we got it. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And I say, what on earth does that mean? Now, I think you know what it means if you think about it. Too often, though, we don't stop and think about it. We say things, but do we really explain things? We know, according to Romans chapter 10, that faith comes from hearing. And so there's a knowledge element that's involved in faith. We've got to know some things. Now, it doesn't play an exclusive role, but knowledge plays a role. We've got to know that God exists, that there's some sort of higher power out there, but that's not having faith in God. Faith in God is not only knowing that it exists, but placing our trust and our dependence in Him. See, faith is making God the center of our lives, and that's a tough one. There's a lot of people today struggling. There's a lot of churches struggling, and they never fulfill everything that God wants them to do because they haven't made God the center of their lives. Oh, they have some faith, but they don't put God in the center. When we don't put God in the center, what happens is we begin to act, and then we begin to pray. In other words, something comes into our lives, it kind of shakes us a little bit, and we start down a path, and then as we're down that, oh yeah, by the way, God, will you bless what I'm doing? That's not putting God first. That's not in the center of your life. In fact, I read this morning a post from one of my friends on Facebook that he had quoted Tony Evans. He said, to pray last is to put God last. And to put God last means that everything we've done before then is a waste of our time. And I believe in that. Before we act, we are to pray to get down upon our knees and find out exactly what God wants us to do. That's putting God at the beginning of our lives. Look, faith is central to all that we are because it's the start of our salvation experience. For by grace are you saved through faith. And even that's a gift of God. Look, salvation isn't a one-time little bitty short prayer saying, God, forgive me of my sins. So that's where it begins. Now, to be saved is a lifetime journey of living and growing in faith. And a lot of people miss that. A lot of people come and they pray that little sinner's prayer and they think everything's hunky-dory and they never have to do anything else for the Lord. But that's not what being saved is about. I don't find that anywhere in the Scripture. I do find in the Scripture that it takes a day-by-day walking with the Lord, growing in our faith in Him. Because the more our faith grows, the more we learn to lean on the Lord. And the more we lean upon the Lord, the more pleased He is with us. To have the victorious mountain-moving type of faith, faith has to grow. And without a growing faith, we just aren't going to go far because we're going to play it safe. Just the way it works. We'll do things that make sense to us, but when's the last time we went out and tried something we knew we couldn't do it if God wasn't in it? I mean, too often we kind of like this idea of, hey, just stay in the harbor. It's shallow in the harbor. We are tied up to the dock in the harbor. Everything's fine. And we might even be able to debate whether it's safer being in the open seas or in the harbor, because things do happen out in the open seas, by the way. But ships weren't built to stay in the harbor, regardless of how you want to come down and whether it's safer in there or not. Ships weren't built to stay in the harbor. But we are to sail the seas of ministry and live for Christ, telling others about Him. And oh, how these seas need sailed by Christians whose faith is growing and strong and will not be denied. A strong faith doesn't appear magically. You're not going to wake up one morning and say, oh, today I got a strong faith. D.L. Moody, for some of you older ones, you'll recognize the name, the evangelist from years ago. He said he used to pray every day that God would give him a strong faith. And he said, I felt like it would be like a lightning bolt moment. You know, boom, it would come. He said, but it never did. He said, what I found was as I spent hours studying the Word of God and hours on my knees, it was there that my faith began to grow. Look, a strong faith. See, that's what brings us back to the surface. Remember the images that we showed you before the service began about the tugboat? Here's the story. The Tom Bigbee River in Alabama. It was spring of the year. The river was flooded, if you notice. I mean, there was normally the barges, and it was a lot of tugboats and barges sailed the river. But normally, they went right underneath that bridge. But because the floodwaters were so high, there just wasn't room. Now, they could still get the barge under there. So what they did when the river was flooded was a tugboat would come up, get the barges, you know, two-thirds of the way through the bridge, lined up, release the barges, and then there would be a tugboat on the other side of the bridge that would run up and catch them and take them the rest of the way. And that's what was supposed to happen that day. Willie Jackson, the captain of that tugboat, he pulled in and everything was going fine. He got his barges between the big pylons and he released the barges and he was then threw the tugboat in reverse, but he miscalculated ever so slightly. There was a little bit of current that he didn't know and it kicked the tugboat to the side. And then you saw what happened. Smash right into the bottom of the bridge. Now, amazingly, the current was so strong. I mean, it literally put that tugboat on its side and pushed it under the bridge. Now, with all that water that was simply filling in to the tugboat, you would have thought it would have simply stayed turned over and capsized and gone down the river that way, but it didn't. It sprang right back up on its top. It's like one of those rubber duckies, you know. You can't get it not to, you know, it always springs back up. Why? Because there's ballast on the bottom of the tugboat. And the ballast makes that thing come stand straight up. You could turn it completely on its end and it would still pop right back up because of ballast. Folks, I believe our ballast in life is our faith. Faith is what keeps us going. It's what turns us back up on our feet when life knocks us off of our feet. When we can't figure it out, when the storms have hit us, when we've run into the bridge, it's faith that somehow brings us back and puts us back on our feet. And that's one of the reasons, one of the many reasons why we depend upon faith. Look, Jesus on more than one occasion reprimanded the disciples because their faith wasn't as strong as it should have been. And you know one of them, the terrible storm, and they go wake Jesus up. And they said, you know, Master, we're going to all drown, so you might as well wake up so you can die, sort of thing. And Jesus calmed the storm, and his question to the disciples, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Now, we know where it wasn't, and we know it wasn't as strong as it should have been. So where is our faith this morning? It's easy to criticize them and say, boy, they should have had more faith, but where is our faith? What do we do when the storms rock our lives? Don't we go wake Jesus up? Where's our faith? Jesus told them, have faith in God. And what a difference it is when we do. Look, God put this world together in such a way that there's natural laws that simply always happen. I mean, God made this world to have gravity, the law of gravity. And that means when you jump off the roof, you're not going to fall part of the time, but every single time you jump off, you come down. And I looked up the mathematical formula for gravity. I was more confused after I looked at that than before. I didn't get it. All right? I don't understand gravity. In fact, why don't people on the bottom of the earth fall off? You ever wonder that? Don't make sense, does it? I don't understand it, but I still believe in gravity. Because I'm not jumping off no 10-foot story building because I know what will happen when I do jump. So why is it that we have more faith in gravity sometimes than we have in the one who put gravity in its place? If only we had faith. If only we would sail the seas that Christ puts before us. If only. Look, our faith, how far we're willing to follow God, that determines how far that we go as people and as a church. And I just don't think God wants us floundering in the harbor. I believe he wants us with the kind of faith that's, you know, the walking on the water type of faith. And if we want to please God, I mean, if we want to pull an Enoch and please God, then it's going to take a strong faith. We're going to have to allow ourselves to move closer and closer to him. Oh, yeah, there's going to be times that the storm's going to rock the boat. But remember, our ballast, what's going to bring us back to the surface and bring us back and put us on our feet is our faith. A poet once wrote, faith makes the up look good, the outlook bright, the in look favorable, and the future glorious. Dr. Edwin Young wrote, the church works on faith. A successful, godly outreach and body of Christ will be dreaming and attempting things that cannot be done except through God's supernatural intervention. When's the last time we stepped over that faith line? When's the last time we've been so convinced that this is what God wants us to do to reach more people for Him that we said, you know what, God, if you don't do it, it can't happen. See, the problem is it causes us to do something that makes us uncomfortable. It doesn't make any sense to us. Ben Patterson wrote in an article, Waiting. He said that him and three other friends were going to summit the highest peak at Yosemite National Park. And he said they were only about 2,000 feet from the summit when they started that day, but they had to cross this big glacier, and so it was going to take most of the day to get there. And he said two of them, not him or another buddy, but two of them were very experienced, and said the others, we'd climbed some, but not a lot. And so the decision was made, the two experienced climbers would lead the way with Ben and another friend behind, following. And he said, we started out, we're laughing, we're joking, we're having a good time, but it wasn't all that long until the experienced climbers, they began to get a little bit of a lead on them. And Ben said, you know, that competitive nature deep inside of me, he said, I wanted to make up the ground. I didn't want to be last. And he said, so I began looking for a shortcut that would catch us up or maybe even put us ahead for just a little bit. And he said, I saw what looked like a great shortcut. And I said, maybe it was the high altitude. He wasn't sure. He said, maybe it was the high altitude because it didn't register that the two very experienced climbers didn't go that way. He said, but to the protest of his climbing partner, he shot off through the shortcut. And up on the glacier he went, and within 30 minutes he was stuck. He said, I couldn't go up, I couldn't go down. Well, he said, I could have gone down very quickly, he said, because standing on this ice, he said, if I would have slipped, I would have fallen for, you know, for 2 or 3 miles, it seemed like. He said, there I clung to the side of that glacier as hard as I could. He said, I was stuck. Couldn't move. Took his experienced buddies over an hour to get to the place, the rock place that he was trying to get to. That was only about 10 or 15 feet away, but he couldn't get there. So they came from another direction. They got there. They took their ice axe, and they made a couple of footholds in the ice, and they said, look, here's what you got to do, Ben. You got to kick that 1 foot out and hit that hole, that ice hole, and as soon as you hit it, you got to take that other foot, and you got to kick it loose and kick it in the other one as well, and when you do that, we're going to pull you up to safety. And he said, I liked everything that I heard until they said, but Ben, you can't lean into the mountain. You got to push yourself out away from the mountain. They said, because if you don't, by leaning in, you're not letting your cleats dig into the ice. And he said, if you don't lean in, you're probably going to slip. He said, but if you push out, those cleats will dig in deeper into the ice and you'll be okay. And he said, right there, he said, I'm starting to think, do I really want to trust these guys? He said, because I was hugging that mountain. He said, do I have any reason to believe these guys are lying to me or wanting me to fall? He said, I finally decided that I really believed in my friends. He said, I did what they said, and within 2 seconds, he said, I was pulled to safety. See, I believe that is where so often we find ourselves in our walk with the Lord. The Lord said, you got to push out from the mountain. We said, uh-uh. We're scared, and we're hugging, and we're leaning in. But the Lord says, push out. Take a step of faith. I'm right there to grab your hand and pull you to safety, but too often we're just frozen because our faith isn't all that it should be. As we embark on this journey of faith, as we allow our faith to grow and to blossom, we are going to begin to see God at work in our lives. We're going to begin to see God at work in our church. We're going to begin to see the kingdom of God open up to us as God wants it to. Enoch pleased God because he was a man of faith. If your faith is the gauge of how well you're pleasing the Lord, then it's not up to me to decide. It's up to you. Is the Lord pleased with your life and where you are? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the beauty and the power of your words that often speak and often comfort but also challenge. Lord, we talk a lot about it, but way too often, Lord, we don't live it. Help our words to be more than just that, words about faith, but may your faith begin to blossom and grow within us, allowing you the freedom to use us and allowing our lives to be something that you're pleased with. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Please stand this morning.
We invite you to turn with us to hymn number 410, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. Joining together singing the first and second stanzas only before turning it over our conference chairman. May truly our hearts cry out to greater faith to serve the Lord. Together singing.
Be seated, and I'm going to ask Skippy Osborne to come as our